The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UAP reality. I'm David Twitchell, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO, UAP, and abduction phenomenon.
Our guest today is Dana Louise. Dana is a wife of 32 years and mother of two, living in St. Paul, Minnesota. As an infant, the Grays began to visit her in her crib. After that, the entire supernatural and paranormal worlds began to drop by. Dana stayed quiet about her adventures, but now she's finally coming out of the cosmic closet, so to speak, that she was hiding in. Her hats in the past have included a finalist in a Norwegian reality show, food truck driver, Reiki master teacher, thought field therapist, and more. Her personal experiences with the weird are all covered in her book entitled, This is Gonna Sound Weird. So I'm happy to welcome her to the show today. Hello, Dana.
Hello, how are you?
I'm real good. And yourself?
Oh, I'm great. I'm just happy to be here. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. I read your book, and for subject matter that is so paradigm changing, you have managed to maintain quite a sense of humor.
Thank you. Thank you because a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I don't know. I tried to stay true to myself and hold to myself and not look out at other people and what they're doing. But my feedback I'm getting is like a lot of people are angsty or whatever. I think because this started in infancy, mm-hmm. It just was normal, you know, mm-hmm. It just kept happening. And so, what are you going to do? Cry or stop or whatever? You got to have a little sense of humor, you know, right. Take it with a grain of salt.
So when you say it's normal for you now, right?
It's normal for me because I don't have memories of my mother over my crib or anything. I have all memories of aliens in infancy. I have a clear recollection throughout my infancy, which is kind of unusual, but I do believe that because I think your synapses or something like that, even as an infant, I knew the Grays visiting me in my crib was unusual, mm-hmm. right? I don't know how. I think it's just an intuition thing.
Well, have you studied? Have you studied up on the abduction phenomenon?
No. I mean, I know a little bit, but here's the deal. And what I'm going to say, truly, truly, I try to dismiss it. It's kind of, let me put it in this way. It's kind of like abuse, all right? Mm-hmm. It's like abuse. And you know that it's wrong. And there was nobody that had to tell me not to talk about it. I just kind of knew not to talk about it because I knew it wouldn't be accepted. Mm. And so I just kept to myself. And I didn't want more input. I didn't really want to study any of it. I think the first book that I ever saw or read was Communion, Whitley Strieber.
Mm.
And in my book, as you know, like when I saw that book at the end of the cashier aisles at the grocery store, because they used to have paperback books at the grocery store,
right.
It kind of flipped me out because I'd never seen a good depiction. I mean, this is before the internet. You know, this is, you know, back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, they were little green men.
Yeah.
You know?
That was started by a reporter who reported on little green men, just to make it sound silly. Green men from Mars. So neither one of those is true.
Okay? Right.
But now it sounds silly to people.
So, right. So I just kind of kept to myself throughout all this. I just wanted to be a normal person, you know, so I kind of rejected all of these things and just took them with a grain of salt. They're like, oh, you know, here's what happened. La, 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 la. Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
And you know, you read my book and it goes deep. I mean, there's a lot of strange things. And I don't know. I think that's just my personality. I kind of feel like I'm a golden retriever. It's like, you know, where's the ball? Where's the ball? You know, happy, happy, wag the tail.
You know,
right. That's kind of who and how I am. And maybe that's why all these strange entities came by. You know, I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Well, the reason I asked you if you've studied up on it is because if you do or when you do, I think you'll find that most abductees are abducted as children or infants. Yeah. So yours is really not that strange of a case when it comes to, you know, within a strange case.
Right, right. But it's like with Whitley, okay, and I'm going to, two pluses, like with Whitley, he was an adult. Mine was in infancy. And I know some shaman, I do some, you know, Native American ceremonies and everything. And, you know, they speak to understanding that children are being contactees and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to that. I think it just was that. And I haven't really studied it because, well, for most of my life, there was nothing to study. Nobody was really talking about it. But then secondly, the minute you open up your mouth, all of your credibility goes away.
Mm.
Now you're a lunatic.
You well, know, not so much anymore. Now,
no, not now. Yeah.
But back then, you know,
right.
20, 30 years ago, most definitely.
Right.
You were, I had a sighting when I was a kid and my whole family, and I've never been afraid to tell anybody, you know?
Right, right. But I think a lot of people don't know. That was the second part that I was going to say is like, because there were many times that I did not know, I had no recollection, and I knew this at the time as a child. I did not remember the Grays visiting me the night before, but every time they would visit me, I was changed physically. I had like, well, I don't know how to describe, gifts or strange things, like I could manipulate things on a etheric or frequency level. And so I would just know, oh yeah, they must have stopped by because just being in their presence, I was shifted somehow. I would
be okay, so
less normal.
Give me an example of these gifts that you refer to.
Well, to be fair, most of the things that I was capable of doing, I don't even really remember anymore.
Huh.
I do remember, you know, with my sister, she was 7 years older and she was just like, oh, you know, like I could see things were analog back then. This is the 60s, you know, things were analog. And I could go into like a little store and I could point or intuit, you know, with my mind, I could change a thermostat. I'm like, say you were looking at, remember those, like, there were like these chests and with a sliding, they still have them at the grocery stores, and there'd be like ice cream in there or something like that. Right. And I would like say to my sister, look at that. And I'm going to change the arrow on this thermostat. And I could do that. And when, digital clocks started to come out, I could just like freak out the clock if there was like, back in the day, a little bit before disco, they started to have like these funky lights. People would put them in their rooms so they could have a little dance party. I know it's really sad, but they were like they looked like a speaker, but they weren't a speaker. I'm sure you remember this.
Right.
But I could go up and I could manipulate, like send it off doing something weird that it wasn't supposed to do. And I mean, like those types of things are still true to this day, as in, if I want to log on to a computer that's not mine, because I feel like electronics get to know me, they do. I speak to electronics. I can talk to them like a cat, like, don't do this. Like little, I have like a pool cleaner, and I've had many of them. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to them and say, go over there. Stop that. What are you doing? And they obey. I know that sounds really weird, but it's like, if I were to log on to your computer, and if I was excited and I was in a rush or all these kinds of things, I wouldn't actually be able to do it because it would just be too much. It would just blow out your computer. So I have to be really calm. You know, I can turn, you know, like the street lights on and off and all these different manipulations. It's weird. I know that there was more things, but you know, I'm going to say when you have an experience or a moment like, such as we are talking right now. We are in the moment. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow, what I'm going to have is a memory of this moment. And the memory of this moment is just a memory. And there's a lot that's been lost. And every time for the next week and month, when I think about the moment right now that we are talking about, the memory is going to be less, if that makes any sense. Because
well, yeah, it does. It does, because we all start fading more and more as time goes on, unless you're having an eidetic memory, you know, like.
Right. Well, I have a great gratitude in that I do have a lot of that. My brother even says he has a photographic memory. I'm not that perfect because literally I can't tell you what I ate for lunch yesterday. I can tell you a lot of very specific things, a very heightened moments. Even my sister is like, I can't believe you remember these details. Like you are eating out of a pink Tupperware bowl, you know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that, you know, most people's world when you're born is bucolic. And because I had this defining moment, I think it woke up my synapses. And then I'm, you know, you're clicking because I don't know if this is the last day for myself on the planet, but there was a huge part of that. Like, I was soaking it up every minute because I never knew when today is going to be the last day. And I'm grateful that, that I am alive. I'm going to say that because they could have easily taken me. And as you know, there was this vortex that opened one up one night and almost swallowed me. And people are like, oh, why didn't you go in? I'm like, you go in. I'm like, I needed a rope. I'm like, you don't go into a vortex, like a literal vortex in your house. I mean, you know, we've all Stargate 9 and stuff like that. You go first. I'm like, yeah. I mean, I've seen one, but you know, go ahead. Let's see how brave you are, because are you going to be able to get back? Curiosity killed the cat. That's all I got to say.
So I read about it, but tell our listeners about that. Or did you just do that?
No, just do it. No, I didn't open up the vortex. So here's the thing.
But was there a vortex in your room?
That yes.
Okay.
A literal one. Now, I've gone through wormholes and stuff like that. And just for people to know, oh, my God, I don't even know how to describe it. There's a lot of things that theoretically go on and just there's wars that go on and stuff that goes on. I'm not even going to get into it. But here's the deal. So I'm writing the book. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. There was this vortex. I built a cabin up in Wisconsin near what was called Hole in the Wall Casino. And we all called it a Hole in the Wall Casino because we were like, it's a hole in the wall or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a nice casino. Mm-hmm. And the cabin is about 3 miles south of there or something like that, but it's built into a hill And there's a sign right there in the corner that says, this is the land of the woolly mammoth. And one night I'm sleeping, and in the middle of the night, I'll get into what happened. But just to tell you in this moment, it's like, here's this vortex, and I'm fighting it and everything. And I kind of felt that I wasn't sure about it was sent to me to off-world me by the shadow government. But then when I was writing my, because that's, you know, I still can't answer you why or how it happened. But what I can tell you is, as I'm writing it, I'm like, oh, hole in the wall casino. I'm like, oh my God, hole in the wall casino. This is a Native American joke. Everybody doesn't understand that there are probably in this area in Wisconsin vortexes where holes in the wall open up. I'm like, oh my God, bingo. Of course.
So when this incident occurred, were you fully conscious? Were you in bed asleep?
So I have this, you know, cabin or whatever, and it's three stories. There's the basement, it's a walkout, main area, and then a loft. And I had kids with me, and they were probably 12 years old or something, and they're sleeping up there. So I'm in the basement area, bedroom, and I'm asleep. And all of a sudden I wake up, you know, I'm kind of dazed or whatever, and I can feel like this circle. So, okay, the room. You come into the room, and it's a small room. It's not that big. Typical bedroom size. And to the left, I built a queen-size bunk bed. And I'm on the lower bunk. And I am on my left side, so I am facing the wall. My back is exposed to the door and just, you know, the little space you can walk around in the room. You know, it's not that big. And I'm waking up or realizing that there's this circle. And what it felt like, I used to have a poodle, a small poodle, probably about, I don't know, 7 pounds or less. I don't know. And, you know, little dogs, they circle, 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 circle before they go to bed and lay down, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling the swirl. I was like, oh my God, it made me think of my dog, you know, Sugar. I'm like, oh my God, the swirl, la, la, la. And I was thinking a friend was supposed to come with her dog, because I'm thinking of dogs. But I'm like, her dog's like 50 pounds. And she would have been like, oh, hello, Dana. You know, but this is in the middle of the night. So I'm having this confusion. I'm bringing up scenarios in my head of what is the logic of this. You know, I'm going through the stats. Like, what can this be? You know, so anyway, so I'm feeling a swirl. And then I open up my eyes. And like I said, I'm facing the wall. So on the wall, I can see the swirly, twirly, you know, whatever, swirly, twirly lights, like a disco light or whatever. I'm like, what the heck? And now I'm clicking in. I'm coming, you know, I'm starting to come online, and I'm feeling the sheets and the bedding taunt and pulling. It's as if you were standing there and you were forcefully pulling the sheets because they're tucked in at the other side of the wall. So they're not coming loose because, you know, that's hard to make a bed like that. I don't know, you know, people, if you've ever had like a bunk bed and making the bed. Like, so I super tuck them in, but I'm feeling it. And it's almost like they're trying to pull the sheet out, but it's kind of coming down and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what the heck is that? I'm like, because it's over my shoulder and it's tight and it's pulling. And here's the swirly twirly light on the wall. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I realized, oh, I'm frozen. I can't remember what's the word you call it when you can't move, blah, 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 blah.
Sleep paralysis.
Yes, sleep paralysis. And I'm realizing that, but I'm like, that's baloney because I'm awake and I've been awake. I am being frozen. So then now I got to fight it. And this has happened to me 20 million times. So I'm like, I'm like literally growling, literally pushing, all this kind of stuff until I break free of the paralysis, because I'm like, oh God, here we go again. And it just now what's it gonna be? And I have no clue, which is amazing. I mean, you know, like all these strange occurrences. So then I'm like, okay, there's a swirly twirly reflection on the wall underneath this bed. What the heck is behind me? And I gotta tell you, I'm the biggest scaredy cat. I do not like ghost houses or any of these kinds of things. I don't like to be scared, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, oh, crap, I gotta face it. So I I turn around. I start to turn around, and meanwhile, the blankets are being pulled. Now, the blankets are not in the air or anything. It's almost like they're being pulled down underneath as if there was something under the bed. But on the wall, when I turned, was this huge vortex. It had to be, I'd give you 4 feet across. Four feet, you know, in a circular thing. Multicolored white going down. And I'm like, You know, I didn't know. Like I said, are they trying to off-world me, whatever, but I am not going into this vortex because I'm sitting there. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to, I have to take a moment to remind my listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're speaking with Dana Louise. She's an experiencer and author of a book entitled This Is Gonna Sound Weird. So, sorry to interrupt, but got to take care of radio business. So, continue, please.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I study ham radio operation. You got to do your call-in signs. Yeah, so that's basically it. I mean, the kids would have been at the cabin alone. My keys, my cell phone, they were flip phones. This is the early 90s. No, this is about 2000s. Yeah, so I just would have been gone. And like I said, I literally sat there and thought, well, is the shadow government coming to off-world me? Mm-hmm. You know, I would have expected that. But then when I sat and wrote the book, which, as you know, I described many, many times, it's kind of like, oh, my God, the memory comes back. So many times in the book, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just realizing this. When it said hole in the wall casino, because a lot of Native Americans talk about wormholes or tunnels or whatever you want to call it, especially down in like the western southern end of this country, you know, like the Hopi Indians and all this kind of stuff. They talk a lot about that. Mm-hmm. But I don't really know the community over, it's north of Hayward. You know, I don't know them. Like if I got to know them, because they don't publicly talk about things, I literally sat back and laughed. I'm like, when they called that casino hole in the wall casino, they meant it.
Yeah.
They meant it.
Tell me something. You refer to the shadow government. Now, explain what the shadow government is, what it is to you, does it exist? What? Are you talking about humans?
Yes.
You're talking about humans.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So just for you to know, you're like, here I am having all these experiences as a child. And as you saw in the book, my parents were involved in politics. My dad was involved with the supercomputer, a CIA agent. He doesn't know that I know that he's a CIA agent.
Nah,
excuse me.
He does now.
I know. I don't care. He's a white cat. But just about a month or two ago, he gave me a file on my dad. And now I found out that my dad was part of NASA and all these kinds of things. So, okay, this is the 60s, early 60s. My dad's talking at NASA. He changes the supercomputer. He's working in Bloomington, all these kinds of things. Well, hello. One day in October of 1970, I'm 8 years old. My parents take me out of school. We're in Fridley, where I'm growing up. We drive all the way to Rochester, the airport in Rochester. We, you know, get some name tags or whatever. I don't know why I kept my name tag, but the voices told me, keep this name tag. You're going to need it. Anyway, so I still have my name tag. It says, presidential special guest, and with my name, and we go out onto the tarmac. I had no idea why we're there. All of a sudden, up rolls Air Force One, and people can't believe it, but hey, here comes Air Force One, opens up the door, and out pops Pat Nixon, Richard Nixon. I'm just trying to keep this story quick. She walks up to me out of the small crowd, and I'm the only real child, and hands me a long stem red rose, which today says to me, sub rosa, You know, after that she left, and then the media came over, which was not television, but just radio newspaper. So I was on the radio for that, whatever. So we could find that. There's the proof. And, you know, I'm realizing, I didn't realize it at the time, but now I'm realizing, oh my God, there's their tribute to me, the government, of the work that I've been doing, because I know I've been doing a lot of work. I go out in 4D and 5D and work on, oh my God, these other military, I don't know what to say, military excursions that are going on. And if you look recently, I realized that down there at Area 51, they actually have an area that's called Dreamland. And since I've come out of the closet and started to meet other people, I have a lot of military personnel that are my age or a little bit older who talk about, you know, I'm not, you know, this is all in secret, but who say, yes, yes, we did this, we're doing that, blah, 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 blah. So if you see the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, there was the public display of, oh, here, we're going to do this thing. But then when that failed and it fell apart, oh, here comes what I call the shadow government, or the unknown money. And this is actually what's going on for real on this planet, because we are a planet. Yeah. And I think a lot of times we just like to think, oh, it's Doritos, it's going to work, it's football, it's Taylor Swift. And that's great. You can be a gerbil in your little gerbil cage, but there's much more going on. And so I feel every time like somebody like, oh, my life is boring or something, that your life is not boring. If you want to wake up to what's going on in this planet, oh my gosh.
Yeah. So in your book, you talk about non-humans coming down from quote unquote heaven to mingle with the original humans. Now, are you suggesting that ETs merged with their DNA with earthly simian beings to create the human race as we know it today?
Right. So what I would like to say is, if you go back to the Old Testament, which is these books, the Muslims, the Jewish faith, and Christianity all honor these books. And if you go and read these books, the Bible talks about the Anunnaki, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And for humans here on the planet, and especially back in ancient times, how do you, you know, you would call them a god. So they're calling this a god or whatever, you know, like we think God, but they, to me, a lot of the Bible is alien stories. And ancient, so, yes, I don't believe that we came out of the muck and then we became, I don't know, monkeys or whatever. And then here we are. La, la, la. I think there are ancient tales about, you know, Lemuria and Atlantis and everything like that. And that is when and how that those beings were here. And they developed us for their, for themselves to use us like what we do as humans to other species.
Yeah. Yeah. Using them. Yeah. There's a lot of, what's his name now that, he's passed away, but, he wrote books on, ancient aliens and,
was that Sitchin?
Yeah. Sitchin.
Okay.
And yeah, he's introduced that very idea that the aliens or Anunnaki yes. used simian beings like you know, the apes, and right. So when they say we evolved from apes, well, yes and no. It's
right.
You know, one little girl once said, if we've evolved from apes, why are there still apes?
Right.
I gave a lecture on this for MUFON once, and I said, well, that's like saying if there were limons, why are there still lemons? Why are there still limes? Well, because they weren't part of the hybridization process. So the same thing here. Some apes were not part of the hybridization process, but the Anunnaki used them to create yet another species, to wit, you and me.
Right. And so what I try to tell people is that we're gaslit. When you're gaslit, you kind of are suspicious of it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, going through what I did, it's kind of like a Dora the Explorer or something like that. So here I had these interactions. Now I'm trying to make sense of it. I went to church. They're all like, oh, we believe in the visible and invisible. And I'm like, that's baloney. No, you don't. And so for me, what was heartening was ancient art, ancient texts, ancient buildings. When I go back at antiquity and look at these things, you know, and I'm going to tell you, Raiders of the Lost Ark or whatever, when, you know, they took, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and put it in a box and shoved it into someplace in DC. I mean, that's may or may not be a joke, but that is basically true. And I think also the Holy Roman Empire, which is still going on, the Roman Empire is still going on, people. That's why we're all thinking about it, right? Men think about the Holy Roman Empire every 32 seconds or something. Anyway, so I think a lot of the real things have been hidden, destroyed, like the Alexandria libraries, all these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But what remains, you can still piece it together. So that's what I did. I mean, you know, like it's a puzzle piece. Look at it. All of these countries and people and everything, they can't be wrong. And it's the same story over and over and over.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, wake up. And, you know, we're not just here by ourselves. There are aliens that have lived among us since the beginning of time. Now, why are they in hiding? Well, I have my own theories on that.
What's your theory?
Yeah, because a lot of people are like, oh, disclosure, disclosure. And I think when people say, oh, disclosure, they're talking about the grays coming down. But you, number one, I don't think the grays can actually handle our frequency. I think they need to be in a different frequency in order to handle things. There are other aliens that can handle our frequency. But, you know, that's not the goal, you know, blah, blah, blah. So aliens are here. There's a couple of them, and they're walking among us. You don't even know who they are. Hmm. Because a lot of everything is shape-shifting and telepathy.
So when you say they're on another frequency, are you saying that they're other dimensional as opposed to extraterrestrial or both?
No. Right. So that's a good thing, because, like, as you read in my book, there were two other species that came, and they came and said, we are here to help your planet. So that I loved, because I'm like, oh good, you're off world, because I don't know, I didn't see the ship that they came in on. Like, did they come through a vortex? Did they come through a wormhole? You know, how did they get here? Are they lower level? La, 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 la. But they're like, we're here to help your planet. I just think some of the grays, the grays that I was working, because there's different types of grays, just kind of like there's different types of birds, different types of flowers. Mm-hmm. And that is true in nature. Most of the grays that I've encountered have to be in a certain frequency. Everything is about frequency. Just kind of like fish need water. They work in a frequency. So everything was kind of like, and these other guys, they all have this strange frequency. Now, the ones that are here on this planet, like the Anunnaki and the reptilians, sorry, I hate to tell you this, they don't need it because they come here, they develop a system through shape-shifting and telepathy. So, you know, this has been going on for like a billion years. They're good with it. While these other guys, I call them the scrub. They're kind of scrub. They come in, they do their work, they go off, but they can't actually handle our frequency. Now there's other ones that can, you know, so it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot. Cause I think, I don't know if you, you know, if you saw that alien interview with the ISBE, and stuff like that, because now we're going to go into AI and all that kind of stuff, because that's a huge, huge thing, the whole AI thing. Mm-hmm. Just for your listeners right now, I'm going to tell you, AI is new to this planet, but AI is not new to this cosmos, galaxy,
no.
To everything.
It couldn't be. It couldn't be. Let me take one more moment to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves, and you're listening to We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell. We're talking with
Dana Louise.
I was going to say something different, but okay, we're talking with Dana Louise, and author of This Is Going to Sound Weird. Okay, so your childhood visitations were, according to your book, were verified by your next-door neighbor and friend, Jenny Jo, years after the fact. Tell our listeners about that.
So, you know, here I have this memory, you know, that the Grays visiting me. And I think this is typical. Up until about the age of 10, I think most abductees or contactees who were visited as children would say, probably up until, you know, you started to go through puberty or something like that. Anyway, I'm on Facebook, and I just recently got on Facebook not that long ago. I'd say about 10 years ago. I'm kind of a newbie. Anyway, and so her face popped, this face popped up, and I'm like, oh my God, that's my neighbor, lived right behind us.
Hmm.
And so I send her a friend request. I'm like, oh my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, because I basically lived at her house. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there. We got together at a restaurant. Actually, it was a Mexican restaurant. So there was some margaritas. Anyway, and about with the second margarita, all of a sudden, I don't know why, because I'm a spiritual person. All of a sudden, and she's the most normal person. She is just apple pie, Catholic, sweet girl. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, she is just such a beautiful person. Just normal. She's a muggle. Totally normal. Anyway. And so I started to tell her about the aliens. And she paused me. My hand was out and she put her hand on me and she calmed me down and stopped me because I'm kind of like going off. I'm spinning. And she's like, Dana. And I thought she was going to say something negative or I don't know. I'm just immediately thinking I'm going to be rejected. She hates me, all this kind of stuff. I'm evil, whatever. And she goes, I remember it. And I looked at her. I'm like, what? And she goes, I remember the humming and the vibrations. And I'm like, and I hadn't started writing the book at this time. I'm like, are you kidding me? And she goes, no, I remember it. And she goes, I was petrified. And because it was a lot. And the thing of it is that we sat and discussed it for a hot minute. Like, were they coming over to her house too? And we pretty much cleared it that they were coming to me because, you know, there's people that say, is it bloodlines or whatever? And I kind of feel, yeah, you could say maybe bloodlines. I've never heard anything from grandparents or anything, but I just think that my dad's interactions with NASA, being near the Mississippi River, because they travel rivers, all these kinds of things, but that my capacity for telepathy and all these kinds of things, just who and how I was, made me the perfect mark. But that she, I mean, I'm about 55 years old when this happened, and she sat there, and I bless her head, I love her so much that I got confirmation in that moment, because my whole life, there have been so many witnesses to the strange things that have happened to me. And for a long time, I sat there and like, God, why are all these witnesses? And the thing for me is that because I myself wouldn't believe it. I'm the biggest poo-pooer of everything. Unless I experience it, I don't believe it. But read my book because it's crazy. And I wouldn't believe any of it. Like, do I believe in crop circles? Well, why don't we have some film on that, please? Okay, whatever. Anyway, so here she is. And she's confirming me. And I never expected that. I mean, that was such a blessing. Out of the blue, I can't even tell you.
Mm-hmm. That is quite something.
Yeah.
And you claim that there's an agreement between humans and ETs. Do you know any of those details and what kind of evidence is there?
I think you're talking about the disclosure agreement. So, because there's a number of agreements, but I think one of the agreements that I think you're talking about is that, such as when I go to Netflix, well, actually even just normal TV, mm-hmm. back, when did it start? Maybe in the 80s, you know, we have Star Trek, la la la, you know, kind of rolling it out. So there are these agreements between, it is really the Anunnaki, and I'm just going to put it out there, and the government and humans. So it's kind of like, on a spiritual level, the Anunnaki or these other entities that are here and live here, they have to play the certain game. So it's kind of like, we can't do things unless people are in agreement with it. Because this is it. This also says to me, God's source, that they are all obeying that. So they can't mess with us unless they tell us. But they don't tell us. So they made the new temples. You know, we don't go to temple. We don't go to pyramids anymore. Mm. We go to the theater. We go to the TV. And they are indoctrinating us. And I'm going to tell you, the proof is that I never thought I'd be talking to you or talking to anybody about anything that has happened to me. I thought I would go to my grave. And in the last even 10 years, man, the wheels are coming off. And I feel like I prayed for this. But I'm like, I'm like, not a holy roller, but I'm like, oh my God, here it is. Now's my time. I can't believe that people, that I can open up my mouth and talk about this.
Yeah.
But they have to disclose it. So please, people, please, when you're watching Three Body Problem, when you're watching some of these other shows, this is disclosure. And the CIA, in my book, the CIA admits it. They admit that they have to disclose to us in order to mess with us. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Roman Church, that's a whole big thing, and you know about that.
But there's supposed to be an agreement between E.T. and President Eisenhower.
Right.
And is that the agreement you're referring to?
Yes, that is also part of it. Well, because Eisenhower, and I call him the last true president, I don't know, you can all Google it. He went missing for like a day or something like that. And they're like, no. Blah, 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 where did he go? He went to a dentist or something. But he went to Area 51. And I'm going to tell you a look. But when you look at, I noticed through my life, every president that had darker hair, not orange hair or white hair, if you know what I mean, wink, wink, I'm talking about Barack Obama especially, he'd be a good case. About a month and a half into their office, they all go gray. Look at Kennedy. Look at every single one of them. Because that is when the initiation comes in. That is when they're shown what the truth is. And you know, kind of like, what is it, poltergeist or whatever, when the mom goes gray, when you have such a big shock, you go gray. And these people didn't know. They were benighted and everything like that. But when they were shown what's really going on, they go gray. And now it's like, okay, here's the deal. You can pretend you're a president, but we're in charge, and this is what you're going to do. And I'm going to talk real quickly, you know, the whole, you know, the English royalty, they are this is why they own the planet, basically. They are the major, as Diana said, they are not human. She also said that they are reptiles, and I'm going to say that she was correct, and that is the truth.
You buy that?
Oh, yes, 100%. And I think you saw my picture of George Bush in my book, and I took that one off the TV. Oh, yeah. So there's a difference between actual true aliens that are here and frequency people who have like a walk-in. So they can take in a walk-in. And I talk about this in the book. We have to be mindful of Manchurian candidates. We have to be mindful of when we're watching TV and our subconscious, you know, like we're just kind of unconscious and we're open to different whatever inputs or whatever subliminal things. Right. So I really believe that people are being implanted with some of these alien thought forms, But the higher ups that are in government and politics and everything, and the music industry, entertainment industry, there is a certain point in time when they have to decide if they're going to take on the mantle, which means they take in a walk-in of one of these entities and they are subservient to that, and then they'll make a lot of money, or they are not. And so look at Madonna, look at all the stuff. I mean, you just got to look at all of this satanic stuff, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, CERN, well, with the collider, you know, like their, when they, you know, had their like Gupta Gala when they were opening up and stuff like that. And they're like, oh, why is it so, I don't know, evil?
Now, you mentioned in your book, President Eisenhower's granddaughter, Laura,
right,
and her involvement in the ET secrecy.
No, see, she really isn't.
She's not?
Well, I think she said she had one encounter with the aliens one time.
Okay.
At least that's what she knows. I think what she's really doing and getting into is talking about her great grandfather and his involvement and all these kinds of things. Now, she's a healer and all these kinds of things, but she really doesn't go into meeting other entities and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I mentioned her because in the book, it's like, okay, there's Eisenhower, but here's the deal. You know, I met, I took off because, you know, here's Pat Nixon, and then their daughter, Laura, I believe, married into the Eisenhower family. And that's why I bring it up, because I'm like, oh, here's all these people that know about the aliens and all that kind of stuff. So it made sense to me that she, and I didn't read her book, but it's like, I feel like she knew something about it, but I'm not quite sure what she knows. Like, it's not the same story as what I have, but I mean, like, she's involved to that capacity.
Now, do you believe you have a chip or an implant that that allows these beings to locate you or communicate with you?
Well, yep, and you read about it. It's the first chapter of my book. I was actually, and I'm sitting here right down the end of the block. I was sitting there with a neighbor lady, and I'm scratching the back of my head. You know, we're just two moms in suburbia. You know, we're about 30 years old or something. And all of us, you know, I felt like I was picking at a zit. I'm sorry, excuse me, while I'm talking to her. And then I'm like, you know how you pick a zit or something, you're talking and you're going to examine it kind of on the sly, like you pick a booger and you hit it or a scab or something. Anyway.
Yeah, so, okay, I got it.
Okay, and so I'm looking at my finger, and then she looks at me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And there was like this microchip that was on my finger. And she pulled the microchip off with her finger, and she's examining it. She's rubbing it hard, like, oh my God, this is metal. Oh my God, la, la, la. This is in the early 90s, so cell phones, yeah, not a thing. And within, you know, we're discussing it and looking at it, and as it's sitting on her finger, it disintegrates. Now, back up the ship for 1 minute, because she's an amazing person, and she's like, hey, Dana, you know, this, she got me kind of into all this stuff. She's like, hey, you said you've met all these aliens. You might have implants. So she knew this woman, Wentworth, I think is her last name, beautiful woman. And she's like, well, some of them are ethereal. You know, we paid money and we had this woman work on us, on our alien implants. And I kind of didn't believe it, but there was one day she was having a session and I couldn't physically be with her, but she's like, okay, at 2 o'clock, I'm going to do the session. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm driving down the road with my kids, and all of a sudden I was like, ooh, I felt drunk. I felt out of place. I was like, oh, that's right. She's doing the ethereal implant extraction or whatever. But so we had done a series of these, and then all of a sudden, physically, this implant popped out. But as you know in the book, I know that there was an implant that was injected into my rear end. And that was during the day with some grays. And the thing is, I didn't get this until, again, I was writing it, that was my dad's boss's house, my dad's boss, and I don't remember if he was at UNIVAC or Sperry at the time, blah, blah, blah. But I was at his, in his yard, and that's when I went from the lake, boop, up into the woods, boop, and the Grays were there, and I'm like, oh my God, you guys, like, hi. And then, boop, they sent me back, and then I felt like I got shoved in my rear end, or just above my fanny, with a hot stick or something, and I was like, oh my God, what is this? And then I ran home. I'm probably 4 years old. And then I jumped up on top of the counter, so in the bathroom, so I could look. You know, I wasn't bleeding or anything like that, but I had this indent. So I don't know if that's the same implant.
Do you still
have? There was one on the top of my neck.
Do you still have like a punch mark in that area?
I, you know what? I haven't really checked. I should probably go back there and look. But yeah, it was like a punch hole.
Yeah.
I had that for the longest time. And I'm like, what's up with that? But there was no bleeding or anything like that. But I literally felt like somebody took a sharp stick, because, you know, we played with sticks back then. We didn't have, you know, iPads. Like somebody took us, you know, a stick about the size of a pencil and shoved it into my rear end. I mean, literally, I had to go home.
People, you know, myself included, have little scoop marks, they're called.
Yes.
They're like, they took a little, a tiny ice cream scoop and scooped out some skip.
That's exactly it. Okay. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I should look, though. I haven't looked in a long time.
You think I'd be looking? Not right now. Not right now.
Yeah, no, not now. Yeah, thank God we're not on video. But anyway. Yeah. So, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much time we have left.
We have like 5 minutes left. I'm sorry.
I don't know if you want to get into the whole DNA thing. What else would you like to talk about real quick?
Well, you mentioned in your book that the spaceships in Star Wars movies act as a trigger for you. In what way?
Well, it did when Star Wars came out and I was in the theater and the big ship comes over. Like, so here's the deal. And this is the thing with shadow government people, other people that I've met that have come forward that were in the Air Force, this and that. I mean, we're talking legitimate people and everything like that. I'm going to tell you people that there have been, and this really was very strong in the 70s, and Reagan talked about Star Wars, and I was like, oh my God, he's actually talking about it. So what I was shown at night was like the didgeridoo and vocal toning, like, you know, like the Tibetan monks.
Right.
What they were doing is opening up a frequency to open up the gates, because there are wormholes that bring the ETs or the other terrestrials through to this planet. So think about the whole firmament. Think about this three-body problem thing. This is real, people. And that I was privy to for decades, when this frequency would happen, the skies open, the ships come in. They battle, they hide, so like a lot of people can't really see them, this, that, and the other thing. But I've been on the ships, I've watched the ships. They also happen on the water, like here in Stillwater, which is nearby. And also when I saw that three-body problem, I realized that I was also in the canal, the, not the Suez Canal, but what's the one?
Panama?
Yes, Panama. That I was there, because all of a sudden I looked at the side, and that is what I'm saying is triggering to me, because all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, because when I was on the ship, on water, a water ship, I remember seeing the background, and I didn't understand where we were, but now I realize that that was the Panama Canal. So this three-body problem thing going on, I don't know what's going on in that canal. I can't tell you what our missions were, but I can tell you there were different insignias. And I'm not sure if I'm working with the white hats. I'm certainly more or less on their side. I feel like I'm off world why I'm there as a representative, because I've been told also I'm on the Galactic Council. So,
okay, whatever. So briefly now, the three body problems. What are you talking about?
This is a show that's on Netflix, and okay. I'm just kind of talking about it right now because it's, you know, everybody's kind of whatever. But it, I love it because they are showing, for those who have watched it, I hope I'm not disclosing too much, they're showing the firmament. And I didn't believe in the firmament until all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I wrote about the firmament like three times in my book. In the three body problem, it's a long story, but essentially, aliens are coming. They're coming in 300 years. But what I want to tell you is that our government has known we have had Star Wars. If you listen to the government and the actual words they say, and I write about it in the book, I'm like, they talk about all they and the Soviet Union, which was not our friend at the time, were in a conjoined block with us. And it sounded like Star Wars off planet. And I'm like, yeah, I get it, because this is what's happening. Now, a lot of people, and I don't know if this is four dimensional because we're 3D, but there were times that I literally was standing in my front yard as a child watching these ships come in. And it always happened. There's some games and they call the sound Legion. And I hope a lot of your listeners are probably in their 30s. I'm thinking because, you know, anyway, Legion. So it's about frequency. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what the ancient people used to do. Like the Vikings, come back, you know, NEM. they were opening up these vortexes. And in these vortexes, now when these ships come in, what they're doing is they're harvesting our souls. They're harvesting our energy, or loosh. And this is why all these aliens are here. They're looshing us. This is why we're 3D. It's a whole big thing. And so, I'm just going to say, yeah.
So they're not very friendly. Is that what you're saying?
I guess I would take them friendlier than some of the aliens that are on this planet, because the some of the aliens here do more harmful things in more physical ways. They're looshing us through our energy, and that's how they're getting their batteries and their charges. You know, think of Monsters, Inc., which is also disclosure. Look at Disney, and guess what? Disney has a firmament over it. You know, so when you start opening up your eyes to all these signals and clues, you're going to be like, oh, there it is, snap, snap, snap.
So where can our listeners go to check out more of your work and your experiences?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I guess apparently I'm getting close to my 5,000K mark, but my book is on Amazon. And on Barnes & Noble, and I really, really want to get do the Audible, but I'm a boomer, so this is going to be some new technology for me to learn another thing, which will keep me from my Alzheimer's. But the book is called, I know, the book is called This Is Gonna Sound Weird. So it's THIS and then Gonna, GONNA, Sound Weird. This Is Gonna Sound Weird. Mm-hmm. And in it, you know, there's like 30 chapters that'll blow your mind. And I just want to say, stay open-minded. Don't, you know, there might be things that resonate with you and there might be things that you might reject. And I get that because myself and my neighbors, we rejected a lot of these concepts for many, many years. But if you just embrace them for a minute, you know, this is exciting. It, you know, it's not a boring life. This is very exciting. And if you open up your mind to it, we are in a galaxy and we are on a planet that's whirling and swirling around, you know, because one of the reasons why I wrote the book is like, oh, Harry Potter, he ain't got nothing.
Well, Dana Louise, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you. And I've read your book. And thanks again for sending it. And I highly recommend it. Okay.
Oh, thank you, David. I super appreciate it. And thank you to everybody that's listening today. I know it sounds a little weird.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank you, the loyal listener. Go to WHFR's homepage, scroll down to We Are Not Alone, and click on the headline, which will take you to where you can find my website with all the archive shows. Or click on the Talk Shows button, then the We Are Not Alone button for the latest show archives. And please join me the first Monday of each month at 2 p.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UAP phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you, to keep an eye on the sky.